All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us, and we ask Allah ta'ala to continuously shower His blessings on us and not to deny us and deprive us of any of His blessings, those we know, those we don't know, those we perceive, those we don't perceive, whether they are big or whether they are small. The day when one blessing is taken away, which we thought is small and insignificant, that day we come to realize what a great blessing of Allah Ta'ala it was. So inshallah, continuous shukr will keep us connected to Allah Ta'ala, and continuous shukr will ensure that that particular blessing stays with us inshallah. Respected friends and brothers, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his mission, if you look at it broadly, is categorized into four things. And first, obviously, is that yatlu alayhim ayatihi, he recited the verses of the Quran. Wa yu'allimuhumul kitaba, he taught them the book. And the third thing is wa yuzakkihim, he purified them. And wal-hikmah, and he taught them hikmah, he taught them wisdom. So my respected friends and brothers, from among the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that are lacking in us as individuals, and lacking in us as a society, and even as a ummah, is that of us not having given attention to the aspect of self-purification and self-reformation. And this was a very important thing and as far as the teachings of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned. He purified the people, and all the teachings of Islam are such, my respected friends and brothers, that they aim to ensure for a person peace of mind and contentment of heart, and they aim to ensure that the person who is living in this world, he lives a life of respect, honorable life, a life of dignity, and a life where he can tolerate and endure certain conditions that might come on him. That is the aim and the object of this yuzakkihim, of this purification that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. And if we don't have that, my respected friends and brothers, then we become like pre-Islamic Arabia or pre-Islamic people, whether it's Arabia or wherever else it might be, where those people had lost all sense of goodness and of honor and of respect, and they were basically reduced to what can be called subhumans. So my respected friends and brothers, it's not a nice title to be told or to feel that I'm somewhere below what is the acceptable human level supposed to be. So in this regard is one beautiful hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are lots of ahadith which apply to different aspects of the person's, you know, personal life, or even when it comes to our social and communal life, that when we put these things into practice, then all these things that tazkiyah is supposed to actually ensure will come about. And if these things are lacking, my respected friends and brothers, then we will find that we are living a very miserable, very discontent, and a very fake life. No inward peace and chain, as we say. So the hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, man halat shafa'atuhu duna haddin min hududillah faqad waddallah, wa man khasama fi batilin wa huwa ya'lamuhu lam yazal fi sakhatillahi hatta yanzi'ah. ومن قال في مؤمن ما ليس فيه أسكنه الله ردغة الخبال حتى يخرج مما قال فيه. وفي رواية من أعان على خصومة لا يدري أحق أم باطل فهو في سخط الله. So these are four flaws, four sins, four weaknesses, that four of them that are mentioned in this hadith. If we don't take care of it, and if we're not careful, it will ruin us as individuals, as well as it will create mass, widespread. difficulty and anarchy in a community. And we must each one see where it applies to us. It's a hadith that is very important for us to, you know, think about and reflect upon, and then make our ilaj, our own treatment, my respected friends and brothers. So the first part of this hadith, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that he who intercedes on behalf of somebody upon whom some punishment has been prescribed, that means a person has received some punishment and some kind of a sentence for something that he had done wrong, and he deserves to be punished, whatever the form of the punishment is, whether it's a fine or whether it's a sentence or whether it is something more than that in an Islamic country or wherever it might be, then my respected friends and brothers, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if your intercession on behalf of someone who is supposed to be punished saves him from punishment, then Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you as an interceder or intercessor have actually opposed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, it is the law in the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person, when he does something wrong, he must be punished. The system of Allah ta'ala in this world is also like that. If we open the books of fiqh that have all the Islamic penal codes, as we want to call it, and punishment and capital punishment, whether it's in the Quran or whether it's the hadith and the lifetime of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the different aspects of crime and wrongdoing and injustice, then we find these are laws that come directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person is supposed to be given that particular punishment, then he must be given. If we don't give him that punishment, then, or he gets off the hook. Why? Because he knows someone. Or his uncle knows someone who knows someone right up there who can make the file disappear, or who can influence the judge on leniency or to just make things happen. And this is such an ordinary and a common practice in so many places nowadays, my respected friends and brothers, where people, you know, where they get the contacts and they get things sorted out and they get away from what was supposed to be a punishment. So if this practice carries on, one is, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this particular person has opposed Allah. Now if somebody opposes Allah, what is his outcome, what is his consequence going to be, my respected friends and brothers? That we can even look at it. There are lots of ayat of the Quran. I mean, if you oppose any authority in this world, and we know what can happen, how things can happen to a person. He says, فَقَدْ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ, he has worked against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has opposed Allah ta'ala. So my respected friends and brothers, that is as far as the akhirat is concerned, and obviously the consequences. But look at the social impact this can have, the negative social impact this can have, that every time somebody does wrong, he knows someone who knows someone who can get him off the hook. This will lead to a system of lawlessness. Lawlessness will become the law of the day. That's what's going to happen. Because everyone will do what he wants to do, and he'll break the laws. He will take away the honor of people. He will plunder and pillage the property of people. And he knows he's got somebody who can get him off the hook. Got a good lawyer maybe. Or maybe he knows he's got the judge in his pocket because every week sending some musas and mitai for him. So he can get that also sorted out. So my respected friends and brothers, the society will suffer. Nobody will feel safe anymore. Those who are living a proper, honest, straightforward life, they're also going to feel threatened. That, you know, if somebody's going to come and do something to us, nobody's going to even help us out. Because the people, they get off. And nowadays, that is on the tongue of many people. What's the sense we go report a crime? They do nothing about it. One is they do nothing, one is they're incapable of doing something. But worse than that is that something could have been done, something was done, but somebody else came and got you off the hook by virtue of his intercession. So that is the first thing that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned. And the teaching that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, Islamic teachings are so beautiful. They are so fair. They are so just. They are there for everybody. They are there for the rich and the poor. They are there for the upper class and what we call the lower class. They are there for whoever it might be, my respected friends and brothers. And nobody must be allowed to get off the hook. Many times they say, the guy got off because he's got it, you know. So my respected friends and brothers, in the time of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that one lady from the Quraysh tribe, the Makhzum tribe of the Quraysh, she committed an offense. This was in the days And she, because of that, was now supposed to be given the punishment of the hand being cut. You know the Quran says, "Sariqu sariqatu faqta'u aydiyahuma," cut the hand. So the people felt very, especially the tribes people felt very, you know, embarrassed about it. Their image was being tarnished. And they didn't like it that someone from their family is going to be given this kind of a punishment. So they're trying to now sort the matter out. And they said to Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd, radiallahu ta'ala, he was very close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was so close that somebody actually thought he was the son of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they said to Hazrat Usama radiallahu ta'ala, who, you know, go put in a word there, man, by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that can this lady somehow be spared? So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got so cross, he got so upset and angry. He says, the people before you were destroyed because of this. This destruction that comes, which we spoke about, the entire society and the fabric of society is smitten by corruption and with lawlessness and anarchy and whatever else it might be. This is how people in the past were destroyed. When someone from the higher class, when they committed anything that was wrong and punishment was supposed to be meted out on them, they were spared. And when someone from the lower class, maybe the poorer person, or the one who got no context and no family, you know, lineage, strength, or whatever it might be, when they did something wrong, then they were punished. So some were being punished and some were not being punished. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took an oath. He said, by Allah, if Fatima bint Muhammad, my own daughter, has to do something, and if her hand has to be cut, it will be cut. Not that Sayyidah Fatima radiallahu ta'ala in any way can be even thought of to be doing those things. But my respected brother, look at the example that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave. That even if my own daughter has to do that, we are not going to allow it. So that is the first thing, my respected friends and brothers. Then the second thing in this hadith, which we should abstain from, woman khasama fi batilin, whoever disputes in a matter that is false, in a wrong matter. So in other words, he is in a dispute. وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُهُ, and he knows he is wrong. One is you from your assessment of things, you feel, no, I am on the right, and that person thinks he's on the right. That's not. Sometimes a person is in the wrong. He knows he is in the wrong. But وَمَنْ خَاسَمَ فِي بَعْطِلٍ فَهُوَ يَعْلَمُهُ, and he knows he is wrong. فَهُوَ فِي سَخَطِ اللَّهِ, then he is under the constant anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means the punishment didn't come still. But to be under the anger of Allah Ta'ala is like this, like on a big night we read that dua, أَوْذُ بِأَفْوِكَ مِنْ إِقَابِكَ وَأَعُوذُ بِرِضَاكَ مِنْ سَخَطِكَ, I seek refuge in your pleasure from your anger. So what is the dua? If Allah Ta'ala's anger is on you, that means Allah's pleasure is not on you. When Allah's pleasure is not on a person, then everything in his life is going to be going haywire and mixed up. He'll be having one or other setback. He will be a very frustrated and a very restless person all the time. He will be leading a life of fear and anxiety all the time. Allah Ta'ala has withdrawn his pleasure. Allah is not happy with such a person. He's withdrawn his pleasure from such a person. So if a person gets into this, now why does a person want to argue when he knows he is wrong? He probably is arguing because his pride doesn't allow him to look like I am wrong. So to save his ego, I am going to stand my ground because my position, I'm not going to allow myself. He knows inside his heart, he knows he is wrong. So fine, he might even get away from it. And he might even, whatever it is, come above. But such a person, now who wants to be under this heat of the anger and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's why we made the dua on the 15th Shaban night. وَعُوذُ بِرِضَاكَ مِنْ سَخَطِكَ. And, oh, maybe a person knows he's on the wrong, but he feels he stands to gain more and good by fighting and going the wrong route and keeping up onto the batil, on the false, because there's some worldly gain or benefit for him. So he's also going to fight. Or sometimes a person, just because of his own hatred for another person, he knows that person is on the right and he knows he is wrong, but he's carrying this sickness. That's why we spoke of tazkiyah, purifying yourself from all the sicknesses in the heart. So such a person, my respected friends and brothers, he keeps up the fight for no other reason, to feed his ego or to get some temporary, what you call a worldly benefit, or just to punish the other fellow. I want to fix him up because I've got an old bone to chew with him, whatever the case may be. So my respected friends and brothers, then such a person, he is actually going against Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And worst of all, he is under the constant anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, my respected friend, that's why we find Allah ta'ala says in the Quran that establish justice for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala, even if it is against yourself. Walau ala anfusikum. Walau ala anfusikum. So we know we are on the wrong. Say it and get over. Sometimes we are fighting a battle because we need to stand with somebody. I have to stand with him. Last time he stood with me. So I have to now give him. Now, even if he's on the wrong, وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُهُ and he's arguing in a matter that is not correct, then such a person might get support. He might give somebody support. But at what expense? At the expense of the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like we said, the anger is just one form of negative impact. What is going to happen thereafter is something else. So, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, حَتَّى يَنْزِعَ مِنْهُ until such a time that he withdraws from this unnecessary and this false disputation of his. That's the second thing. Then, my respected friends and brothers, the third thing Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَنْ قَالَ whoever says about a believer something which is not about him, in other words, something wrong, then this person is going to be made to dwell in Radghatul Khabal, that is the huge lake in Jahannam, which collects all the blood and the pus and the fluids of the Jahannam. It goes flowing down from all over, huge lake. And then that person will be dumped inside that lake. Now if our own pus and our own blood comes out, we need to wipe it off. If somebody else's will come, how much are we going to quickly want to get rid of it? If somebody's spit comes on us, he's talking, we'll say, we get upset. So what if we are placed into this kind of a place in Jahannam, which Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described and called Radghatul Khabal. So my respected friends and brothers, this is the third thing. And this is, very common also amongst us. It's something we need to stay away from. We say things about people. We ghibat. We gossip about people. Why are we doing it? Forever. Maybe we don't like the person. Or because we receive misinformation, based on misinformation. Or because we got suspicion. You got suspicion for so many reasons. This one recent one we're dealing with, we're getting quite fed up with it also, is somebody got a suspicion. For example, a man got a suspicion on his wife, suspicion, that when she's online and he suspects her with someone else, that guy is also online. And when she went offline, he went offline. Now, why? You can't accuse somebody on the basis of that. That is wrong. This is just an example we are giving. Because it just could be coincidental. People can just be online and offline at any time. And there is absolutely no reason for somebody to make those kind of accusations. So if you say all these things without proper knowledge and without proper evidence, then Radghatul Khabal, the lake of pus and blood, Allah Ta'ala save us all. And lastly, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ مَنْ أَعَانَ عَلَىٰ خُصُومَةٍ as whoever helps and supports someone in a dispute, La yidri, he does not know that matter, that what he is supporting, what is the truth and what is the false. Then such a person is also under the anger and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this also sometimes from the goodness of our heart, we need to defend someone. We need to speak in favor of someone. We need to speak against someone because this is our friend, this is our buddy, he stood with us. Or because we think we know too much. Many times we don't have all the facts in front of us. Many times things are told to us in the wrong way. Many times things are hidden away. Many times things are twisted and turned. But we feel now we need to speak about it. It's not our own case, but somebody else. So here also Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us that watch out. Don't do that. Don't get involved in any matter when you don't know what are the facts. What is the right thing to do? Here also, and in the previous one also, when somebody is being spoken bad about, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, with regard to a person, you must cover up the faults of a believer. He says, "Ma min muslimin yaruddu ala ardi akhihi," that whoever covers up the honor of his Muslim brother, kana haqqan ala Allahi an yaruddu anhu yawm al-qiyamah. That Allah Ta'ala is right upon such a person, Allah will save him on the day of Qiyamah. It's the haqq of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah says, "Kana haqqan alayna." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read this ayat, that it is upon us, it is our right and our haqq that we will save the believers. So we, my respected friends and brothers, are supposed to cover up. And when it comes to the last aspect which we spoke about, in as far as standing and supporting, if we don't know how true or what are the facts or what is hidden and what has been distorted or whatever it is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says he will be under the wrath of Allah hatta yakhruja minha, or until such a time that a person withdraws from there. So if we want to be involved, we want to help our fellow brother because he stood with us the last time, then make sure we got all the facts. We know what is wrong, we know what is right. Then we can get involved in it. We can be his lawyer if you want to say, you know, we can fight for him. If not, my respected friends and brothers, let us not go throw our own akhirat away at the expense of just standing and be a buddy to somebody else. May Allah Ta'ala save us.